Erica. I am so excited about today's episode.
No, it's like a newbie. We're rookies. It's the first time.
You know, I was very apprehensive to talk about books on our podcast because I just didn't know if it would be interesting or fun or if it would translate. But so many people asked us to break down books and make a bestie book club. And you, I feel like you really encouraged me to do it. And the episode was so much fun to record. I loved the whole process of reading the book and talking about it.
I know. It got me into reading again. And I think we accidentally picked a great fall book.
Yeah.
That was a complete accident. I think readers sent it in to you, but I'm very thankful. Yeah.
Well, you know what? And it pushed me out of the typical genre I like to hang out in, you know, romantic chick lit books.
We pushed her right out of the Hallmark comfort zone.
And then, you know, we're not going to say it. You have to listen to the whole episode. But we announce our next month's book at the end of this episode. And again, I think it's going to push me a little bit. So that's great. So I hope, you know, you're pushing me to read a bigger variety, and maybe we'll be encouraging other people out there to do the same thing.
Yeah, if you're not an avid reader, that's fine, but hopefully you'll pick up a book and read like one a month so that you can join us.
Okay, so let's talk about if you have not read the book, if you are not a reader, if you don't enjoy reading, if you're Schaefer, I mean, if you or any of those people, you should still listen today because it's funny and lighthearted. And we talk about things like girlfriends would, right? Like everyone should still listen.
Yeah. And to be honest, maybe one day they'll make it into a movie and then you guys will know a little bit of the backstory, right?
Now, I will say if you want to read the book and do not want spoilers, you should hit stop right now and not continue listening because we do talk about spoilers in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Great. I'm glad you mentioned it. Yes. So stop right now, finish reading the book, and then come back and listen and see what you think compared to our thoughts.
The book is Not a Happy Family by Sherry Lapina. We have been talking about it for a month. We recorded this episode, used a lot of your listener feedback to answer questions. We even have a few audio clips. It's a lot of fun, this episode, but if you are in the middle of Not a Happy Family or about to read it, this is your like last warning. Hit pause.
Alert, alert, alert.
Don't listen any further. If you just want like a really fun girlfriend chat and want to hear all about this book and other randomness, then keep listening because it's a new episode of The Bestie Breakdown and episode one of our Bestie Book Club.
We hope you enjoy.
Here it goes, starting now.
Hey everyone, I'm Erica.
And I'm Shay.
And we're two bestie moms breaking down topics each week here on our podcast.
We cover everything from pop culture to travel, motherhood, organization, fitness, fashion, food, and so much more.
We're two best friends just chatting about life, and we're so excited you're here. Okay, here we are. I feel like we've been talking about this day for a month.
It's here.
Okay, so it is the first edition of our Bestie Book Club Breakdown. Or Bestie Breakdown Book Number One.
It's a lot of B words.
No, I don't know. If you can say it better, go for it.
We are going to talk all about Sherry Lapina's book, Not a Happy Family, which we all read this month.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, you have a game first, right?
I have a game first before we dive into the book. Just as a reminder, if you haven't read the book, you probably shouldn't listen. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I imagine spoilers are coming up.
Yeah,
so
only don't listen if you plan on reading the book.
Yes.
If you're never going to read the book, Schaefer, you keep listening.
We're going to start off with a Would You Rather game that has nothing to do with reading whatsoever. So whether you're a book lover or not, I think you're going to think this is funny. Erica, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Would you rather go on a holiday, like a vacation, alone or with people you dislike?
Ooh.
I know.
I guess I'd rather go on a holiday alone. I don't want to go with people I dislike.
I don't either.
Sounds like a waste of a holiday.
It does, but I also like the just knowing other people are there.
I know, but think like I'd have a room to myself, a hotel room all to myself.
That's true.
I could just order room service, get out and about. I'm choosing myself.
Okay. Would you rather watch a horror movie on your own or a bad comedy with people you don't like?
I I would be scared alone. I guess I'd rather watch the bad comedy.
Okay. Wait. We're not scared to vacation alone. We are scared to watch a scary movie alone.
Yes.
Just making sure everybody understands. Okay. Would you rather gulp a whole bottle of beer or milk?
Ugh.
I mean, that's so gross.
I'd choose milk.
I would choose the beer.
No.
I have to choose it based on what will make me throw up last. I think the beer would. Okay. Would you rather be alone or be with someone you are moderately happy with? Listen, when I was looking for would you rather.
What are these questions? Depressing questions is what she asked. Okay, wait. Ask me again. Would I rather be alone or with somebody I'm moderately happy with? Am I happy alone?
Are you? I don't know.
I would rather be alone.
Yeah, on your vacation. Would you a rat? Okay, here's one.
Oh, I'm on vacation. Well, no. Am I living my life? I thought you were like for the rest of your life.
I meant living your life. But you were already happy going on vacation, so I assumed you'd be okay living your life.
Okay.
Okay, would you rather be attending Zoom calls or meeting in person in an office?
In person.
I would too. I mean, there's some pluses to Zoom calls, but for sure, I would rather be in person. Okay, would you rather lose your iPhone or your car keys?
My iPhone. That would get way more frustrated if I lost my car keys.
I mean, I know I should say I would rather lose my car keys, but I feel like if I lose my car keys, that becomes Andrew's problem.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if I lose my phone, that's like all me.
Which is why I think I should say iPhone, because Tab would be way more frustrated if I lost my car keys. However, I think somebody could just come out like a lock. They could get a new key made. Or like the iPhone, you have to start all over. Is that true?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's some sort of cloud that's going to help us make that an easier transition. But
I'm sure I haven't updated anything in my cloud in weeks or months, so I'm in trouble.
Hey, listen, I went to Pinterest to find these questions.
Oh my gosh. What is the next question?
Pinterest, which is a very family-friendly, happy little space on the internet. But the next question is, would you rather eat a booger or lick a cactus? I even said,
lick a cactus. I'd lick it gently. Is it your own booger? Like, I mean, close.
I'm telling you, would you rather be a dog or a cat?
What questions are these? I'd rather be a dog.
Really? You hate dogs?
I feel equally about cats.
These are questions for those non-book readers out there.
Yeah,
okay, we're giving them a minute of
dogs or cats. What would you say? You'd rather be a dog?
I'd rather be my dad's dog, because my dad's dogs are always the most spoiled and doted on.
Okay.
I don't want to be my dad's cat. She's not as spoiled on. Have a large spider crawl across your legs, or have a mouse run over a body part?
Spider.
Me too. Spiders don't bother me.
Me neither. They could crawl all over me.
No. Okay. Would you rather live somewhere that had beautiful, mild, sunny, gorgeous, 365 day a year weather, or somewhere that had different seasonal weather?
Different. I mean, I would love it, but it would make me not appreciate those gorgeous, sunny, beautiful days.
Me too. Would you rather be a master of the piano or the guitar?
I mean, okay. I learned how to play the piano in second grade. I didn't get very far because I wasn't good at studying. But I feel like I don't know, is this true where you were or just where I was? I feel like anybody that could play the guitar in college was considered like really cool. Where like the piano, that's like a hidden secret talent. Like how often are people like sitting down and being like, here we go.
Okay.
Where I feel like.
I'm much more impressed with the piano.
Are you just saying that because Andrew knows how to play the piano?
No. Andrew knows how to play the guitar. And
I want him to prove it on the podcast.
I would actually say he could play the guitar better than the piano. But okay, so I grew up in a house with a musician, right? My dad plays lots of instruments.
Yes.
And I am way more impressed, I think, with the piano because I kind of think, guitarists, don't email me. I kind of think people in high school and college more easily picked up a guitar and would strum it a few times and consider themselves a guitar player. Where I feel like the piano requires more skill.
It also requires like a very specific location to bust out that skill. Yeah, where like a guitar is like, oh, we're all hanging out on a Friday night. Look what I happen to have in my car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So we think we both would rather be pianists, right?
No, I'd rather be a guitarist.
Wait, if it...
It was meant
you admire the piano player more, but you'd rather be the guitar player?
Yeah, I just think you can't play the piano. Like, we're only playing it at church, right?
That's how you're picking the skill.
Yes.
Okay, last question. Would you rather never have to have require sleep again or never have to require food again?
I'd love to never. I'd save a lot of time if my family did not have to require food.
Oh, and see, I'm saying sleep. Think about how much I can get done if I don't have to sleep.
I know, but I would never have to cook. I'd never have to grocery shop. I would never have to make anything. I would never have to clean out the refrigerator or the pantry. The kitchen would always stay cleaned. I see.
Meanwhile, I'm going to have all the time in the world to do that at like 1:30 in the morning because I don't need sleep anymore.
Yeah. I guess I would rather, I mean, when I get in my bed at night, that's like a good moment.
Yeah, it's happy.
Probably better for me than if I'm like taking a bite of like a great meal. Mm.
You know what? That's a good segue from our, look, and that was natural too, from our would you rather game too. When you get in bed at night, do you like to curl up with the scary book? Because I don't, but you made me.
No, I'm so glad. I don't know where you came up with this. This book was your idea.
It wasn't my idea. It was my blog reader's idea.
Okay, well, I love the book. Okay, so our book club, our first ever book club book was Not a Happy Family by Sherry Lapina. We read it and let's talk about it. Okay.
I want to talk about the genre. Let's talk about the book. Let's talk about all of that to start with. So I specifically don't read books like this because I read the book and then I require at least 30 minutes to decompress after reading before I go to bed.
Okay. Did you think this one was scary enough that you needed to decompress?
Yes.
I mean, Every night?
Yes.
Or just, oh.
Okay. It wasn't like scary. I can't think of you read more than I do. What's the one where they go on the wedding vacation to the island? What's that called?
The Wedding Guest?
Yes. Okay.
Is that it? Something like that?
That one was a little bit more like scarier.
Yeah.
Gone Girl was a little bit more scarier. You know, I don't read a ton of scary books, but this one was suspenseful enough and heightened my like, enough that I needed to like wind down with an episode of Friends.
Okay. I was going to say, what did you do? You watched like an episode of TV. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I would have to do. So just reading this book took more time because I had to read, watch TV, read, watch TV.
Okay. Yeah. I love this book because I don't like to read a book that is predictable. Like if I open the beginning and a girl gets broken up with, and then she meets a new guy who happens to be rude to her in the office, I know what's going to happen by the end, right? Like, I don't know. I just think that whole like love story, they're going to fall in love. They don't like each other at the beginning. It's not my favorite thing.
That's the start of every Hallmark movie.
I know.
And that's why
I
love
use
it.
That specifically.
Which is interesting because I have the more harsher personality, right? And you have the more, I mean, you're very sweet always. And yet you like the grittier books and I want all the sweet stuff.
You know what is funny about that? I feel like I'm kind of wasting my time, which is something that you worry about way more than I do. Right?
I do.
Time. I feel like if I know who's going to fall in love, like why am I reading this whole book?
Okay. Listen, we're getting all sorts
pointless.
Of deep on our
kind of movies too, but I feel like the movies, I don't like Hallmark that much, but they're very much like age appropriate for my 12-year-old and I to watch together. So we do that, but they're not like my first pick.
I could just watch the Hallmark Channel all day long. I'd be so happy. But I think it's because I am always so like high strung.
Yeah. So it gives you a chance to relax.
It does. It gives my brain a chance to relax, which this book
did not.
No, because also as you're reading, it's not predictable. And I didn't know who did it. I had different theories. Like my brain was working extra hard.
Yeah.
So my brain works extra hard like all the time. And so at night like you said, I like to like, unwind. This one wound me all up. But it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I did like it. I was afraid I was going to get on here and not like it and have to be like, I didn't like it. But I really liked it.
Good. I did too. I thought it was a great book. I would recommend to lots of people. But
okay. Would you say
we're jumping ahead.
Yes. Okay. Would you say it was on a scary meter? You read a lot of thrillers. I don't. I probably read 4 or 5 a year. Let's say 1 to 10, 10 being like super, super, super scary. 1 being a Hallmark book. Where would you say this one was?
I would say it was like a 6 because I didn't think it was very scary. I mean, there's a murder in it, right? And so there's that aspect and you're kind of trying to figure out who did it is throughout the whole book. That's the theme. But there's not a character that you're like really scared of.
Okay.
So I would say a 6. What about you? What would you say?
I would say I thought it got a little, I would say more than 6, maybe a 7.
Okay.
Because I was tense.
Okay. Because you're trying to figure it out and you don't know. And there's
and like, I don't know, is the murderer done murdering? Am I about to, right? You don't know. Is somebody going to get close to figuring out who this person is and then they're going to end up murdered? I just didn't, it kept me on my toes.
Yes.
So I'm going to say 7. But if you're like me and you prefer not to read scary ones, you're right. This wasn't, it was not gory.
It was a mild
thriller. Yes. It wasn't, a lot of them are so psychological these days.
Yeah.
It wasn't as psychological. And you know what else I liked about it? I feel like since Gone Girl, which was how, I don't know how many years ago, since Gone Girl, almost all of them have the same kind of, the woman is the person, you know, like the last Mrs. Parrish and the wives and all of those kind of have the same subtext of it's a woman and she's gone a little crazy or I don't know. This one I thought was completely different than that.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Gone Girl kind of came in and shook it up. Like there hadn't been a book or I hadn't read one before that that had that theme throughout the story. And this was different. Yeah.
Because don't you think, I feel like pretty much every book I pick up since then, even that one I just named, the dinner guest or the wedding guest or whatever.
Yes, I can't remember.
It has kind of that same subtext also. Like they're all very, very similar.
Yeah.
So this one was very different.
Yes.
I really liked how, and this is what made it my mind not be able to rest, is in all of the characters, you also knew what they were thinking. So it was harder to pin down who did it because you weren't just seeing their actions, but you were also inside their head. I thought that was a great twist also.
Well, and they were all from their head saying they were innocent. I mean, even from like, from their standpoints, they were holding out for their innocence. They weren't. We didn't get like a sneak peek at someone being like, oh, yes.
It made it a lot harder to figure out how it was going to end when, you weren't just seeing their outside. You were like inside of them too.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. Okay. We have some audio questions.
Yeah. Now, let's go to it.
Yes. Well, why don't you explain? We had more audio questions, but we didn't know this because we're learning. But moving forward, Erica, tell us what the problem was.
Yes. Okay. So it doesn't say this on Anchor, but the audio messages, if you go to the Bestie Breakdown on Anchor, the audio messages can only be 60 seconds and then they just cut you off. So we had to get rid of lots of messages, unfortunately, just because in the middle of your statement or your question, it just ended. So we have a couple that you guys kept it short and sweet and we appreciate it. But now that we all know that, because we didn't know either, just we would love if you can say it quickly just so we can keep the whole message together.
Yes, we apologize to anybody who left a message. Sorry.
Thank you for sending it.
We didn't know. And we didn't know that you would have so much to say. It would be longer than a minute, which is super exciting. That means a lot of you had a lot of feedback on this book, but next time it needs to be shorter. So we are going to grab just a couple that were shorter. So let's start. Erica and I have not listened to these. So John, our producer, picked them randomly for us. So who knows? But here is our audio question number one.
All right. First up for our comments today on the book club, we have Miss Brooke Lawrence.
Hey, Erica. Hey, Shay. I love your podcast and I'm so excited for this book club. I am a stay-at-home mom, so sometimes lacking the adult interaction or being a part of something. So I'm very excited. I did read the book and I did love it. I do have to say the end was a little bit of a letdown for me. The twists and turns throughout the book were amazing, but I feel like the end just was very predictable. What do you guys think?
Starting with the end.
Okay, I promise that I didn't make that message. You guys heard my, I mean, it's not my voice, but I could not agree more. I thought throughout the story, which should we like do a quick recap of the book?
Because we haven't really said it. Let's recap.
Okay, so Not a Happy Family, the the Merton family. Fred and Sheila are the parents. They're wealthy. They live in like a really nice neighborhood. And I guess it starts. I don't remember if we.
It's like starts with the murder. Like they're found dead.
Okay. They're found dead. And then we kind of go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're found. They've both been murdered in their house. And then
brutally.
Yes. Yes. And then they have three children. And so we kind of get to see it all. We see a little look at Dan. That's the son. Should we talk about like their motives as we're explaining this or not really?
Or they have three like grown adult children with like a handful of reasons to maybe want their parents dead, which is bizarre.
I mean, they're all going to collect money. We can just say that. Like they're all going to get money. And so it's like, which child did it? Or there's a sister-in-law involved or sister and sister-in-law. Did they, she, it's the dad's sister, right?
Yeah. It's like, so yeah. So like there's an aunt, there's a housekeeper that was going to get some money if they died.
Yes. The investigators are in the story a little bit. And so that's it. Like we see them investigating a murder. The three children are all kind of explaining where they were and what they were doing. And to be honest, they all have a little bit of a shady story, right? Like none of them throughout the book sound like super innocent.
Okay. So I would say one of the things I had a hard time with, I really liked the book. Okay. I did. But I had a hard time because there wasn't really a likable character.
Yes.
And you know me, I'm looking for as many likable characters.
Like, a Mr. Rogers in the story to cheer for.
Dude, there wasn't, I didn't really, the parents that are dead, unfortunately,
were not great.
They weren't likable. The kids and their spouses were not likable. I didn't really think anyone, I mean, the housekeeper seemed nice enough, but I still had in the back of my mind, like she could have done it. You know, she wasn't like that likable. I don't know. It was hard. There wasn't like a super likable person.
Yeah. I felt like, just like Brooke said, throughout the story, the twists and turns were really good. Because I think I started liking the older daughter, thinking like, okay, she wouldn't have done this. She sounded like she had her life together. But then like a twist and turn happened and you're like, what? Oh my gosh, what do you mean? And so I agree. I felt like the ending was just kind of like womp womp. Or a lot of time these thriller books, you end and it's like, whoa, you're mind blown over the last twist in the end. And this was a twist that could have happened. To be honest, it almost felt like too obvious.
Okay, so that's why so I don't read a lot of these books, but I almost think that was kind of the twist. I kept thinking, well, it's not going to be the kids because that's too obvious. The three kids would be too obvious. I kept thinking it was going to be the daughter-in-law, Lisa, maybe.
Yeah, because she wasn't saying much.
Yes.
Or the son-in-law, Ted. Yeah. Is it Tom? Tom was his name.
I kept thinking, like, it won't be the three kids because that's so obvious. Like, of course it's going to be somebody besides that.
The aunt, the housekeeper. Yeah.
So then when it ended up, I guess we'll just say, it ended up being one of the kids. That to me was the twist. I was also just relieved the book was over.
She could get a bed.
I needed off the ride.
No, I loved everything about the story, but the very end. I felt that exact same way. And Shay and I haven't talked about this, but we were going to share our thoughts at the end. And that's exactly how I felt.
Would you have felt better if there had been one extra chapter?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted something crazy to happen. Like something that I had never thought all along. Like, I didn't want it to be a theory that we had throughout the story as an option. I wanted it to be like, oh, actually, I don't know what it was.
She was kind of the most, probably this book was the most realistic because if you do find two wealthy dead people in their home, probably it's going to be one of their benefactors that killed them.
Yes.
You know, so probably it was the most realistic. But I thought the daughter, Jenna, that ends up being the one that kills them, had the least amount of motive compared to the other ones. I mean, her motive wasn't nearly as big as the other ones. I mean, she was going to lose her allowance. How old was she?
She was still getting money. Yeah,
she was like 28.
Yeah.
Like she was going to lose. I just thought, oh, it can't be her because I don't know. That's kind of obvious. And
well, and she was getting money from them already.
But I don't read enough of these to know. I was thrilled that it was over. And what is it? The epilogue at the end. I enjoyed that because I needed a little bit of closure.
Yeah.
But I do think maybe if there had been a few more pages about Jenna, the discovery that, or not even discovery, like the reader's discovery that it was her, could have been a little bit more drawn out.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Brooke. I completely agree with your thoughts. Those were exactly mine.
I like Brooke. Thank you for listening, Brooke.
All right. Our next comment comes from Miss Caroline Forson.
Shay, you normally aren't a fan of thriller books. Did you think that this one was better than most?
Oh my gosh, I just laughed because Caroline works with me and Erica.
I love that she left a message. Caroline, we love
Erica
you.
Erica almost spit her coffee out. Like, because we did not. Caroline, thank you. I don't like thriller books. Caroline knows that about me. I think I probably liked it because it wasn't gory. I don't like gore.
Yeah, it wasn't super suspenseful where you were kind of scared, right?
And it wasn't, you know, I can't listen to the list is long of things I don't like. I don't like unrealistic, you know, like I don't want fantasy or I don't know. It was probably pretty realistic if you find a dead murdered couple, right? How it was done and who did it. And so,
I mean, I'm pretty sure if we Googled, we could find a story similar, like from real life.
Yeah, probably from McKinney, Texas. So,
ooh, gosh, that's crazy.
I, you know, I felt like I liked it because it was more realistic and not gory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it was just a good fall book. Like, who wants to read this in April? I don't know. It was a good...
Explain that to me some more, because it's like Halloween.
I guess so, yeah. It just felt fall to me.
I know.
I think Halloween-y, like, I think horror, I think thriller, yes, all those things.
So this wouldn't have done it for you as well in, like, March?
No, it would have done it for me all year long. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, for you, someone who you have to be, like, stretched a little bit to read a book like this, I think September, October, November are, like, your best chance months.
I'm trying to read books with words like fall for harvest or something like that in the title. And meanwhile, I'm reading this one instead. All right. We have another audio question from a listener.
All right. Next up, we have a fantastic analysis from Miss Tara Akins.
Hi, my name is Tara and I'm from Missouri. I'm leaving a message for you all about the book, Not a Happy Family, that you're reading for your podcast. I actually finished it last night. It took me about 2 days to get through. A couple discussion points. Number one, I felt really bad for Irina, the housekeeper. She basically raised those kids and they were just not very kind to her. One of them tried to frame her for murder. Secondly, I don't know how Catherine could live in that house after her parents were murdered in there. I guess the overall was just that clearly lots of money and growing up with cold, unloving parents will give you serious issues as an adult. It was a really fun read for fall. I actually read this book instead of the one I was supposed to read for my book club I run here at home. Whoops. But great book choice. I love the podcast.
Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tara. Both of her comments were so spot on. They were terrible to Irina.
They were. Everybody. The parents, the kids, the aunt, everybody.
Irina should have gotten a job somewhere else with a more loving family because she seemed very sweet and honest and genuine, and they were terrible to her.
Yes. Also, the house thing. That was a great point. I did not really think about that, but why even before that, if you were raised in a house where your parents were super cold, even though it's like a super nice house, why would you want to live there for that? Like you don't have great childhood memories. You don't have.
I couldn't figure that out either. That was an outlier for me where I kept thinking maybe Catherine did it because maybe there's something she needs to dig up at that house or something to like uncover. Yeah. I kept thinking there has to be more to her needing this house than just she thinks it's pretty. But
yeah,
really it boiled down to
really
that.
Really nice house.
Yeah. But yeah, it just boiled down to would you want to live in a house where, let's not say your parents, but like somebody had been brutally murdered?
Oh.
I know, but people do all the time. Isn't that weird?
I mean, plus, it was like this amazing house and you were going to get it for such a steal.
Somebody I know, I'll tell you later.
What if they're listening?
No, I'll tell you. Well, I mean, this story is horrifying, but they bought a new house and like as they're moving in, the neighbor comes over and it says, you know, their son committed suicide in like the living room. And she's like, no, like it wasn't disclosed. And she said, so they only lived there maybe 2 years and then they moved because she said she just never felt at peace there.
Oh,
I know, but that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But if my mom and dad were brutally murdered in two different rooms of the house, I don't think I want to live there.
Oh, your parents, their family home. Yeah. Great points, Tara.
Great. I really hadn't thought of that. Thank you for reading our book instead of the one that you were supposed to read.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, Tara. Oh, yes. Very good. These questions are great. Okay, we have some reader questions that were emailed or direct messaged to us too, right?
Yeah, I have three questions. Okay, the first one, I'm not going to read the whole email, but I'm going to ask the questions that she asked, which you kind of already touched on. This is from Sarah, by the way. Did you like the characters? The Merton family was unlikable, in my opinion, so I had a hard time relating.
I agree.
Yeah, they I knew Shay was going to have a problem with that as soon as I saw her question, because that's not something I think about, but you, it's like a make or break it for it a is. Good book, in your opinion, so...
It really is. I think maybe if they would have made the mom, Sheila, a little bit more likable, I could yes. have, I would have enjoyed that more.
Or even if one of the kids wouldn't have had, if one of the kids wouldn't have looked guilty. Like they all looked yeah. guilty for different reasons. And I think if somebody would have been like, well, they're completely innocent, then we could have been cheering for that kid.
Yeah, it was hard to cheer for them and then kind of hard to feel bad for the person, I mean, the parents, because they were portrayed not very great. The aunt, I thought Aunt Audrey could have been, even been a little bit more likable. She was fine.
I thought Aunt Audrey was horrible.
I thought, well, I don't know why
she came off to me like very rude and all about the money. She didn't want anything to do with the kids. She didn't like them. They didn't like her.
Oh, you're right. See, nobody was super likable. Mm-mm. The detectives were pretty likable, but their parts were small.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's next question, one. Which we kind of talked about this with Brooke, but Allie wanted to know what we thought about the ending. I already shared my thoughts. What did you think?
Well, I was thankful it was over because I needed off. I needed off the ride. I thought the ending could have been a little bit expanded on a little bit more. I
just
wish
what happened yeah. after, not necessarily you want it to be more like mind-blowing.
Or, yeah, it didn't have to be more mind-blowing. I needed more on her motive. I mean, I know she okay. had a motive. I would have preferred if they would have elaborated on more than just the basics of the motive. I wish the boyfriend would have kind of come into play a little bit more.
I kept waiting for him to pop yeah. back into the story. I thought he was going to maybe like ruin something or tell a secret, but he really
turn
didn't.
Turn her in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept waiting for that. I needed a little bit more. And as much as I enjoyed the very, very end where Aunt Audrey obviously knows where the bodies are buried or, you know, where the, not the bodies, but the evidence is buried.
Yeah, that part was good.
That part was good. I could have had like a few more pages after that where Jenna gets arrested or something.
Yeah.
I like closure.
I agree. I like closure too. But yeah, I wish the ending, because really that was the best part. That was like the twist yeah. where Jenna doing it wasn't really that shocking. No. But the very end where yeah. we found out that like she can't even dig it up. That was the shocking part.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Janie sent in, would we change anything if we turned this book into a movie?
Oh, what a great question.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think I would make some people a little bit more likable.
At least one. Maybe there's like one good guy that you're rooting yeah. for in the movie or book, because I think a lot of people feel that way when they're reading.
Yeah.
Like they want a likable character to be cheering for, so to speak.
Yeah. I think so, maybe to the three kids, maybe give each of them one redeeming quality.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, it's, you didn't really like any of them. They all had motive. Clearly one of them did it. But maybe something likable about each of them. It was hard. Even when we found out that Catherine was pregnant, it was hard to be excited for her because she was just kind of bratty. Like, I just didn't enjoy her. Okay. We didn't talk about how weird that she like went and found her parents
yes.
dead
and
then
got
went home.
The earrings.
Like she should see someone, a professional. Like that's not normal.
Yeah. So
yeah, even though she didn't kill her parents, she was not disturbed at all that they had been brutally murdered.
And she took her mom's earrings off.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So then
that
was super, because I liked her up until that point. I think I was cheering for Catherine
okay.
until that point. And then I was like, oh, no, she must have done it. Even though she was saying they were already killed when she got there, they were already dead.
Mm-mm. Okay, so let's talk about this. So let's say, you know, Erica and I are big fans of Try to Work on Your Marriage and Stay Married. Okay.
Yes.
But if Tab's parents are brutally murdered and you find out that Tab went over there, saw that they were, didn't call 911 or anything, came home, took a shower, got in bed, and acted like nothing had happened. Could you stay married to him?
I'm out.
Me no. too. Me too.
Because he would have some major issues that he would need to work out. I mean, maybe one day after he worked those out, we could work on things. But I feel like he would need to be like, go somewhere for help.
Me too. Like real professional help. Yes. I thought that was almost as sick and twisted as murdering the parents is the just indifference to finding them dead.
Yeah.
No, I could not stay married to Andrew if I realized, oh my gosh, 3 nights ago, he got in bed, acted like nothing was wrong, and he had just seen both of his parents brutally murdered. That is creepy.
Okay, but also, I mean, not as creepy, but it was also creepy to me that the other brother would just like drive around and watch.
Okay.
People.
Okay.
In their houses.
It's a weird family. My next question for you, Lisa, his wife, I think their marriage is doomed too, because I'm going to really want to believe Andrew is innocent. But if there's a moment that clicks over that I have doubt, I don't know how you ever come back from that. Like, I don't know how Lisa comes back. She really thought like, I mean, maybe he did it.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't, how's your marriage healthy if you think.
You really think my husband could have killed his parents.
He's capable of it. They all need to like seek professional help.
For sure.
In right? This
book, it's just a book, Shay. It's just a story.
I know. I'm a little worked up. I felt like Jenna actually was the most normal of the kids.
Well, yeah. She was 20,
in a way
very carefree.
Yeah.
She didn't have a lot of responsibilities. Her parents gave her allowance. So she didn't have to have a responsibility or any, really.
Well, the question came at a perfect time because before we met today to record this podcast, we wrote down not every character, but just as we were reading through the book, what actor could you see playing that character in a movie? No, I didn't write down. There's a lot of characters in this book. So it was just the ones that really stood out to me. I did not get into the weeds and do all of them.
No, I just kind of did the family.
Okay, so this will be interesting. So tell me, who would you have play Fred and Sheila in a movie?
Okay, so I am telling you why I chose my people. So I chose Jack Lemmon from Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like Fred was just grouchy. Like he was mean, he was rude.
Okay.
All of that. And then Sheila, the mom, wasn't loving. She was very cold to her kids. So I picked Jane Fonda.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
yeah.
How crazy is
that? Amazing. But she can play a very good, cold mom. Like on Grace and Frankie, she's not like a loving. Okay. What guy did you pick?
We have such Jane Fonda crushes over here. Yes. And I think Jane Fonda, though, is like elegant and put together and would be like picking up Easter dinner with her diamond earrings in.
Yes.
Just very put together. I picked Jane Fonda and then I put John Lithgow as the dad.
Oh, yeah. He was on Third Rock from the Sun.
Yes.
Okay,
and then he plays on The Crown.
Okay.
He plays Winston Churchill. And
he can be very cranky too.
Yes. And he has a very cranky, gruff kind of a persona. And so I put them together. That is so funny. Okay.
Very similar though, right?
I mean, yeah, look at us. Okay. Our movie's good.
Which kid are we starting with?
How about Catherine?
The oldest. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So for Catherine, I need to pull the picture up so that you know, maybe you know this guy. Okay. So for Catherine, I chose Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Because I felt like she's a very, like the bigger personality, very, what's the word? Like the leader of the marriage. I felt like she's the voice. Uh-huh. Like, okay. And then I don't remember what his name is. I'll look it up in 1 second. But this guy from Desperate Housewives.
Oh,
do you remember
him?
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to say the name.
I didn't get a Ted.
Doug
person.
Savant. I don't know if that's how you say it.
Yeah. Wasn't he on Melrose Place?
Yes, maybe so. But just like very passive husband, right?
Yes.
Like I felt like she was the one in charge the whole time. He surely had to think it was wrong, but he never spoke up. He never,
never
did
passive.
Anything. It was just like, whatever. I mean.
Okay. You need to watch The Morning Show on Apple TV because Jennifer Aniston in The Morning Show would be exactly who I think this character would be.
Okay. So it would work.
Yeah. Very classy, elegant, put together, but very take charge. Doesn't even need to say she's in charge. You just know she's in charge kind of a character. I put Emily Blunt. Do you know Emily Blunt? Like,
oh, let me see.
She's married to John Krasinski in real life, but She's in like The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh,
she has
yes,
like a put together, a little bit of a severe, I could see her in like, yeah, like in a button down, like, you know, sweater set and being a doctor and
yeah,
just kind of a no nonsense. Okay. That is really funny. Okay. What about Dan, our aloof, drives around, everyone thinks he killed his parents,
okay,
brother.
I picked Neil McDonough. Is that how you say his name?
No. Wait, what's he in?
He's familiar. In Yellowstone. He's one of like the villains. Oh. Because in my opinion, Dan was a villain. Like the whole time I thought Dan had done it. And even if he hadn't, he kind of had this like super, he almost felt like his parents owed him money just because they were wealthy. Like they should have given him money because they were wealthy.
Okay.
So I imagined him to be like a villain character.
Okay. And I think when I picked my actor in my head, I played to the, he was a little also woe is me. Like everyone thinks I killed mom and dad and my, I lost all that money and my life is, and so I picked Casey Affleck, who I think is an amazing actor.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's a little bit like, And I could see him driving around at night and being just like, woe is me.
Yeah. What about, did you pick anybody for his wife?
No, I couldn't think of anybody. Like when I was visualizing her, I couldn't think. Did you think of someone?
Well, I picked, for some reason, I picked Jessica Alba because I think she seems, maybe not, but she seems to kind of take more of a back seat where I felt like Lisa just let it go, right? Like,
yeah.
The blonde haired, blue eyed villain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, what about our killer, Jenna?
Okay, in my opinion, she was like party girl.
And cute and like bubbly.
Cute, bubbly, young. I picked Paris Hilton or Megan Fox.
I think those are very cute and young picks. I picked Rachel McAdams.
Okay, yeah.
Who I just think is like, because you know, it said she wore a lot of black and lived in New York City and was in the art scene. So I think Rachel McAdams is adorable and bubbly and I picked her. Do you have an Aunt Audrey person?
No, I didn't. Who'd you pick?
Okay, I picked for Aunt Audrey. It's the last one I picked. Catherine O'Hara, who's in like Schitt's Creek and the mom on Home Alone.
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
I could just see her being the,
like a quirky aunt.
Yes, yes.
Who kind of is mad at the world and just wants some money.
That's what I thought.
That was good.
Okay, do you have any other ones?
No, those were my last ones.
Our movie's going to be good.
Yeah.
For sure starring Jane Fonda.
I hope that someone turns that into a movie and uses our people.
Yes, please. You have your people call our people.
Which is us.
Which is us.
Okay, so if you were going to give this book stars.
Is 5 the highest?
Yeah, let's do a 1 through 5. And maybe we'll do this on every book club book.
Okay, I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Okay, I was going to say like 4.5 because I thought it was good. I think it can speak to like a large audience, meaning people who aren't into like very racy books could read it.
Yes.
You know, it was a very mild thriller in my opinion.
Which, okay, that'll lead us to our next. Now, we're going by circa 2021 standards. What do you think you would rate it as in like G, PG, PG-13, R? Circa 2021, we're a little bit more liberal with our ratings. So
maybe I would say PG-13.
I think I would too. They do use the F word a handful of times. Really, other than that, there's no sexual content. The violence was a minimal because it was just.
It had already happened.
It had already happened. Yeah, it was describing it. So I think circa 1991, it'd be rated R. Circa 2021, I think PG-13.
Maybe PG-13 with like a couple plus signs. Like, you know, B plus is like almost an A minus. You know what I mean?
Sound like one of my kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Our first book. We chatted about our first book in the book club.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm so glad the day finally arrived and it made me read a book. What about next month?
Okay. Well, we picked out, we didn't. We reached out to one of our other besties who reads so much.
Yes.
And we said we wanted again to be pushed out of our comfort zone, right? A little bit.
Yeah, we wanted a good one that would hopefully be interesting to lots of people.
Erica, I didn't think she'd want to read like a Hallmark book. So we're not going to read something like super, you know, cutesy like that. Okay, the book that we're going to read next month. So you guys should go ahead and check it out from the library, download it on your Kindle, order it and receive it in the mail. It is The Girls in the Stilt House by Kelly Mustaine. Do you have a description? I do. You have one?
No.
Okay, let me read. So, per the Amazon website, it says, Ada promised herself she would never go back to the trace to her hard life on the swamp and her harsh father. But now, after running away to Baton Rouge and briefly knowing a different kind of life, she finds herself with nowhere to go but back home. And she knows there will be a price to pay with her father. So it's about her, then it's about Matilda, daughter of a sharecropper, who's from the other side of the trace, doing what she can to protect her family from the whims and demands of some particularly callous locals in an ongoing struggle. These two girls are drawn deeper into a dangerous world of bootleggers and moral corruption. They must come to terms with the complexities of their bond and a hidden past that links them in ways that could cost them their lives.
Ooh, sounds good.
It sounds like something I probably wouldn't have read. So it's probably good. I am reading it.
Yes, yes. We heard it was good.
Yes.
You guys should read, download, rent, borrow from a friend.
Yes. So the name of it one more time so we can all be reading it together. The Girls in the Stilt House by Kelly Mustaine. That's M-U-S-T-I-A-N. Mustaine, that's I think how we say it.
I already downloaded it. I'm ready.
You did. Yeah. Okay. I need to start. Okay. All right. So that was
Time for reader questions.
All right.
Ready?
We have them.
Going right in. They're right here on the page. See it? Okay. On the around the corner.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay. Do you want to go first? You want me to?
I'll go. Okay. Do your kids read blogs?
No.
No.
They would probably be really bored because it's like their life. They already are living it.
Yeah. My kids would think it was super lame and wouldn't understand why I spent so much time doing it.
Yes. Okay. We got that question several times though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. My kids don't.
Okay. We got this question or some random questions that were similar to it. But the question is, do the hubbies love Nantucket as much as you both do? And the answer is, well, the Shoals love it. So the question should be, do the Slaughters love it as much as the Shoals do? I think that should be the question, right?
Okay, you go with it.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe because we're the besties, people got confused.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure. But Shay and Andrew have been going there and love it. We had a great time. I still need to do a little blog recap. Maybe that'll come soon.
Yes.
But, we had a great time. And we loved it.
You were only there about 36 hours. It's hard to know if it's like
it was
your
a good
place
36
forever.
Hours, you know?
Yeah. If you're only there 36 hours. I will tell you though, one of the best days I've ever had was that day that we went where we started and we did the scooters and then we ended at the club car. Like
yes.
That was just a great, 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 we'll remember on my deathbed kind of day.
Yes, it was so fun.
That was a great day. Okay, so the next question is, it's Friday night and you have no dinner plans. Where are you going? What are you doing? Oh, Friday night, I'm going to eat somewhere. I don't like to cook on Friday nights. So
I could answer this for you.
Yeah. We like to go to our town square. And Cadillac is our favorite place. It's a pizza pub. We like the yard. There's so many places to eat down there. It's always festive. Even if nothing's going on, our square is festive and fun. That's where we're going, what we're doing, and we're going to eat somewhere down there. What about you?
I would say oftentimes we go together.
Yes.
On Friday nights.
Yes.
We go to the square, Mexican food.
Yeah.
Locally.
Yeah. We don't go far. I feel like after a long week and the kids have been at school and everybody's been working, we stay around McKinney. We're not leaving McKinney, but yeah.
Yes.
And what's our last question?
What age does it get easier to take kids on vacation where it feels like a vacation and not a trip?
Okay. Well, I think that, let me choose my words wisely, beach vacations especially get much easier when everybody can swim, stand still for sunscreen, don't
walk.
Eat sand, yes, and don't require that you like be like hovering over them all the time. So I don't know what age that's going to be for you because, you know, you need like really good swimmers and stuff like that. But beach vacations, I feel like got significantly easier. Now, I will say, though, that there's something super easy about traveling with babies that are in a stroller and can't fight it or talk or, you know, like something about pushing a stroller with a baby is easier than having sometimes a 12-year-old that wants to go here and wants to do that and doesn't want to wake up on time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always hard having babies is my point. Sometimes you have to remember that, hey, this is nice. They're in their stroller taking a nap and we're strolling around, you know, Paris or whatever.
They're contained and you're not having to be like, hey, keep up. I think it gets easier when they can entertain themselves on a flight.
Oh,
like,
that's good.
Uh-huh. You know, I think before even like Britt, like right now she could like play on her iPad or color and really entertain herself. But a year or two ago, it was like, here, let's try this. Mm-hmm. Let's try this. Here are stickers. Here's a sucker. Mm-hmm. It was just, I think it's way more relaxing when they can take care of themselves on a flight.
Yes. I think that traveling with your kids though is like taking them to a restaurant. They are only going to get better with practice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So if you see kids that are super well behaved at a restaurant, probably not their first time to go out to eat at a restaurant. Probably they've had lots of practice, and that's why. Same thing with traveling. If you see super well behaved kids at the airport, probably they've had a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So practice makes perfect. So just keep practicing.
Okay, that wraps it up. Our first episode of Breaking Down a Book.
Schaefer, I hope you're still listening.
I'm going to call her and ask her if she listened all the way to the end.
Actually, Schaefer, you call us, you text us right now and you tell us that you heard this. I mean, she made it to the end. Let's not call. Let's just see if she made it this far. You text us and we'll know that Schaefer, our non-book reading friend, listened to this episode.
I love it. Okay. Thank you guys for listening, and be sure to read the next one with us. What's it called again, Shay?
Oh gosh.
The girls in the stilt house.
Yes. We'll post it on our story so that you can see it. Make sure that you get a copy. Thank you so much for reading Sherry Lapina's book, Not a Happy Family, this month with us. See you next time. Bye.
I'm just trying not to say bye. The Bestie Breakdown is brought to you by Erica Slaughter and Shay Scholl.
It's produced by John Reinhart at Free Dream Studio.
We love emails.
Reach out to us at thebestiebreakdown@gmail.com.